Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Empowerment Place Ministries and Using My Keys podcast. This is your host, Pastor Valerie Burrell. Grateful and thankful to be back with you all again. We are blessed this week to have as our special guest, Pastor Sheila Jones-Williams, the pastor of Higher Praise Deliverance Ministries. He is in Richmond, Virginia, currently having service at 3630 Williamsburg Road in Richmond, Virginia at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And we have a blessed time in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Pastor Sheila, thank you for being with us again today.
Thank you for inviting me. It's my pleasure.
Amen. For those of you all who were with us on last week, we began our dialogue concerning leadership God's way, and that has been the theme this entire month thus far on the Empowerment Place broadcast. We have a lot of people who are leading. They're leading with agendas. We have a lot of people that are following that are not assigned, and with those challenges and the many others that come with leadership, we just thought we would talk about it this month. So, Pastor Sheila, I'm going to turn it back over to you and let you sort of push off and see where the Lord takes us this time. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Last week we were talking about leadership, and we touched on leaders and how leaders need to be empowered, leaders needing mentors. And I think that's very important because the body of Christ follows the head. And if the head, like I said, if the head hurts, then the body hurts. So We have to make sure that our leaders are covered and that they stay prayed up. And that's where the congregation comes in fold. You know, this day and time in 2015, we've seen leaders that fall from grace. They've done some things that we don't think leaders should do, especially men and women in that position. So I think now is the time that we need to come together as a body and pray for each other and lift each other up.
Amen. Amen. Prayer is definitely a necessary component in ministry and in kingdom, period, but especially when it comes to your leader. I think that often, you know, when you're a member of a body, you feel like it's up to the preachers and the elders and the deacons to pray for the pastor. You know, a lot of times lay members don't feel like it's a part of their responsibility to have to do that, but as you pray for your own home, your own children, you should equally be concerned. I mean, you pray for your mother and your father. You would certainly want to be prayerful and praying for those that you go to seeking godly counsel.
Exactly. You know, to have your leader and you don't pray for your leader at all that week, or in some people's instance, the whole month, you know, and something happens, and you're like, well, I thought his alma bearer was going to pray for him, or I thought his deacon was going to pray for him. Well, why can't you pray for your leader? Pray for your leader in whatever capacity you're in, whether you're a greeter, whether you're an usher, whether you're the sexton of the church. I would still keep my leader in prayer.
Yes.
You know, you may not like, and you may not like the person, but respect the office.
Amen. Now that's a mouthful. That's a mouthful right there. It helps somebody because a lot of times people don't really understand. They don't know how to differentiate that relationship that, you know, he is what he is or she is what she is, and what's the difference from respecting them and respecting the office? I don't think they always get that.
They don't. they don't. And we can see that with our own president.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, people don't respect the office of the president. They don't even respect the president. But that's another topic. But when you have your leader, you may not like some things your leader says. The leader's responsibility is to hold you accountable, and your responsibility is to hold the leader accountable. So if you're out of line as a member and the leader puts you back in line or gives you godly counsel, put it like that, then you may walk away saying, you know, I didn't appreciate what he or she said. I didn't appreciate the manner that they gave it to me in. But then you tell somebody else and somebody else tells somebody else. But you're not respecting that person as a leader. So now you're not respecting the office that they hold.
That's right.
So you've got to respect the office of the leader. If your job, and this is your office, I'm holding the office of bishop, I'm holding the office of apostle, I'm holding the office of prophet, of preacher, of pastor, then therefore I must respect your office, even though I may not respect everything that you do. Because there's no pastor that's walking around that all of his members love him 100%. You know,
that's
some
true.
Of them may, you know, well, you didn't preach a good sermon this Sunday, pastor. You know, you didn't come visit me when I was in the hospital. You didn't come visit Cousin Pookie when he was in the hospital. And you didn't do so and so for my grandma. So now you got a problem with the pastor. But what about the office?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So if you disrespect me, you disrespect the office. And like we said, you know, last week, I think that a lot of people put pastors up on pedestals, and they look for something superficial. They look for Superman in the pastor.
Yeah.
He can do no wrong. They look for Wonder Woman in the pastor.
He better not. He better not do no wrong. He better not even
And don't roll your eyes. And so therefore, you can come at me, and I'm speaking about me, you can come at me any way you want to. And I'm supposed to just stand there and turn the other cheek and walk away. And you say what you want to say, you do what you want to do, and I walk away. Because that's what I'm supposed to do as your pastor. But let me not walk away. Let me just step out 1 second. And hold
you
accountable for your words or your
Jesus.
You know,
see, I know with me, you know, God is working with me because my face talks. I don't have to say much. But my face talks.
Yes.
My face talks loud. My face talks real loud. And you know, people be trying to help me, like, fix your face. And I'd be like, well, ain't nothing wrong with my face. Ain't nothing wrong with my face. Whatever you see on my face, that's what it is. And they'd be like, no, fix your face. And, you know, people take offense to that because, you know, you got people who think they know you. So if you look in a certain kind of way, oh, yeah, because I saw her because her face was all twisted up because of this, that. You don't know. You don't know that.
Thank you.
So don't
I saw her looking sad at it.
Did you see how she looked at her when she passed by?
And the funny part about the whole thing is my husband always tells me, he says, you don't have a poker face. So when something happens, it shows on your face. And then your voice rises. He says, you don't yell, but it gets a little bit louder. He says, so, you know, you've got to calm. You don't have that nice, soft voice. You have that stern voice. So even in a joke, people don't know how to take me because they're thinking that I'm serious. And I'm
right.
It was a joke, you know. But people can come at you any kind of way, and they don't. Right now, in this day and time, people will come at you as a leader.
Right.
When I say come at you, they don't have a problem charging you. When I say, I mean coming at you, they don't have a problem stepping to you. And I remember back in the day, my pastor, we would whisper around him.
Mm-hmm.
There were certain things we did not do around my pastor as the leader of the church. We wouldn't dare smoke on the parking lot. We wouldn't dare curse on the parking lot. When we came up upon the church, we would turn our music down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they turn it up a whole notch. They don't care. There's no respect.
Yeah.
What has happened to the respect of the church, the sanctity of the church? What happened?
Right. Well,
I think that too many people, Pastor Val, I think too many people, Pastor Val, want to be the pastor's friend. You know, if I can hang around you and I can go with you and I can do this, I'm your friend. But let your friend, the pastor, do something that is not right.
Be human. Be human.
Oh, my gosh.
Be human. It doesn't have to be anything necessarily wrong. But if you're hanging with me, quote, unquote, hanging with me, and we out about doing whatever we do, and you see me be human, have a human side, you can't wait to get on the phone to text somebody or call somebody or tweet or whatever, to expose. And so that's enough of that. You know, you have to be careful. You mentioned in the beginning about the necessity of the covering and, you know, praying for our leaders. And I think that as men and women of God attempt to lead God's way, they do. We do understand and know the worth of building the right circle of influence for where we know God is taking us versus just hanging with our friends. Sometimes we can hang with our friends who are complacent with where they are in God, and you know, sometimes we found ourselves hooked up with folk who God didn't really call, but their friend called and told them there was an opening. Or, you know, it was grandma's church, and it got passed down generations behind generations, and so you fell in line. And then some that were there because they got the big check and a nice parsonage, and they paying for a car and the whole night. You know, so we find ourselves being in the company of these leaders where there is no specific vision for where God is taking them other than we want to get more members so I can get a bigger check. Or we want to make sure we hook up with this one so we can have the prestige. As leaders, we have to make sure that we're with the right people, doing the right thing, making the vision that God has given us manifest.
And that goes back to accountability.
It does. It goes back to accountability on behalf of the leader, but also when we're asking those that are following, that's why we really need your prayers. That's why it's important that when you're a member of this ministry, that you recognize that you are a part of a team at work. If there's a task, and I see today was a prime example. You know, I do statistics, and so I know what reports I have to have done by a certain date, and I know who I have to have them to. And, you know, I was just saying to them yesterday, wow, you know, the numbers crunched really well, and I'm ahead of the game. But I get to work today, and I've got emails waiting for me, and this is at 9 o'clock that says, oh, this report came back, and we have a deadline of 12 noon. Well, that wasn't reasonable. It was not reasonable. But I understood, okay, you're going to put the heat on me. Let me try to figure this thing out. Well, I kept going back and forth, and I couldn't get access to work. So I had to call on another manager. And I was like, this is not working. And she came and we sat down beside each other. We ran it, and it was almost right. And when she left, I had to run it again. And then I had to begin to tear this report down. Well, they sent another message back because they saw the time was going past, and they said, well, we're going to extend it to 4 o'clock. I said, 4 o'clock is good. I finished at 3:20.
Wow.
Now, with that example, here we are in ministry. Ministry, the leader says, look, we want to go out and feed the homeless. We want to go feed the homeless. And I need each ministry to you know, donate certain items so we can put together and we can go feed the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, I ain't going out there with the homeless. It might be hot. It might be cold. I'll buy the stuff, but I ain't going out there. Okay, you understand this is a team thing. So when you start acting up like that and you're in charge of that ministry, come on now.
Do
you expect the leader to say and do?
You went there.
Because you don't want to be a part of the team because that's outside of your comfort zone. That's your shopping day. That's your hair appointment and nail day. What?
You better stop. You better stop. I remember, oh, Lord have mercy, I remember on the evangelism team. And we would go out in the area, and we had some people who didn't like that part of town. So they were like, I'll be here when you get back.
Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I'll be here when you get back. Mm-hmm. And then I remember the pastor one time, he was talking, and sometimes, as mentees, and this is your shepherd, and you're under him, and you're in training, okay? So you're in training, mm-hmm. and you're taking your cues from him. And so one person walked up and said, why does she always get to do this?
Wow.
His words were, I call on the people that I see the most.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
See,
how about
if you're
that?
In the background, and nobody ever sees you, how do I know that you're qualified or capable? But if you're out front,
willing,
see that
or
you're
even
doing,
willing.
Thank
yeah.
you. And see, even somebody who can't or don't know how to evangelize, if they put one foot forward, you got to be teachable. You got to be teachable, reachable, and touchable. Because I can't teach you if I can't reach you.
Right.
And I can't touch you. You understand what I'm saying? So, yes, people hold us accountable as leaders, but then they forget that as leaders we're human. And I'm going to go back to that human part because, it's a bunch of us. Well, it's a team. And we will go to the movies because we will have movie night because we're couples.
Right.
So when we go to movie night, we get our popcorn, we get our drink, and we're in there cutting up and we're laughing. And the first time somebody turned around and said, oh, look at the preachers in here acting up. So we're not supposed to be human. Didn't you laugh at the joke?
It was funny. It was funny.
Hey, thank you. We'll go out. Sometimes we'll go to Longhorn. We'll go to Applebee's. And it's always somebody comes in there, oh, hey, how y'all doing? Next thing you know, I saw them at Applebee's. Are we not supposed to eat? So you only see me in one vein. If you look at the Bible, was Jesus always in the tabernacle? Was he always there 24/7? Did he do all of his work there in the church? No. He was everywhere, out and about.
He was.
He was everything to all people.
He was. I was just looking at Matthew 14, 13 through 31, where Jesus was feeding the 5,000. And, we look at the role of a leader. Now, here in this instance, y'all know the story. I mean, I'm sure most people that know the word, here was 5 loaves and 2 fish.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was the leader, and he said, now give me the 5 loaves and give me the 2 fish. Well, now here disciples, they on the team. They on the team. They done seen some stuff. They done witnessed some stuff. But they still, some of them might, what are we going to do with 2 fish and 5 loaves? Jesus said, bring it to me, and it multiplied. He commanded it to multiply, and it did just that. So it took the mind of the leader to make a decision. You may not understand the decision. You may not agree with the decision. But if your leader is making a decision based on what the Lord has spoken, then...
See, I think that's where a lot of problems come from, because people want to stand up and say, the Lord didn't tell you that.
Oh, my.
And the Bible clearly tells us that he chooses. Some are teachers and some are preachers and some are. So just because, and I'm back to, just because he called you, you need to find out where he called you.
Where?
Did he call you to preach? Did he call you to teach? Did he call you to evangelize? Did he call you to be a doorkeeper?
Right. Because just because he calls you don't mean you pastor, prophet,
Thank
apostle.
You.
Don't mean you that, just because he called you.
And you're absolutely right. And, you know, my prayer right now is that the listeners that are listening, that they will take the time before they go to bed tonight to pray for their leaders. To pray for your leader in any capacity. Pray for your leader.
Yeah.
You might want to pray for your leader health, to have better health. You may want to pray for your leader to get a job. You may pray for your leader for whatever God puts on your heart to pray for your leader. But make sure before you go to bed that you pray for your leader. And if someone is listening and does not have a leader to pray for, then I suggest that they call back or write you or call you, email, text you, and you can get them in touch with a Bible-believing, practicing leader. A leader that's leading God's way and not their own way with their own personal agenda.
Absolutely. And it's important, we talked a little bit about it, where you are, be it in ministry or on a job, where you are, you're there because you chose it or someone chose it for you. I say someone, because not always is it because God sent you there. Because it's where you wanted to be, or because that's where your buddy's at. While you're praying for your leader, I want you to also take time to really give thought to, am I in the right place for this season of my life?
Am I in the right place in the body?
Am I in the right place? Am I functioning according to God's original intent for placing me here in the earth? Am I moving about on purpose? Or am I just moving? Am I aimless? Am I following the crowd? Is there some motivation behind why I am where I am outside of the will of the Father? Because some of the headaches that leaders face are because they're trying to lead people that are not assigned to them.
Oh, my God. That is the biggest headache. People who are not assigned to you are not going to follow you.
Yes. We try so hard because we want to exercise the love of Christ, and we want to have compassion, and we want to be empathetic, and we want to embrace, and we know what the blood can do, and we know what prayer can do, and, we got to love, because love covers a multitude of sins. We do all of those things, but yet that individual is not assigned
and has become a thorn in our flesh. Lord, have mercy. Yet we still try to live God's way.
Yes, when that person becomes a thorn in your flesh, it makes it hard to minister.
It does.
It makes it hard to preach. It makes you hard to, it's hard to teach. It makes it hard for you to even reach out to somebody else because there's a blockage
yes.
there.
Yes,
there's a
they
blockage
become consuming.
There.
They become
mm-hmm.
consuming.
You use all of your time and all of your energy on that
mm-hmm.
person who really should
mm-hmm.
not be there in the first place.
In the first place. And, you know, we have to recognize, again, we're talking about the necessity of prayer. Pray for your leaders because sometimes, you know, we are human. We miss it sometimes. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
we miss it,
mm-hmm.
just like, you know,
mm-hmm.
everybody. We miss it sometimes. And, you know, often we will try to, you know, cultivate something that, where the root of it is disease. Because, you know,
mm-hmm.
this person has been planted by the enemy, so that's disease there. But we're still trying to cultivate that thing. That's when we really need prayer, because if you
yeah.
see your leader, you know, and you feel in some kind of way, please communicate that. Because we
mm-hmm.
don't know what you always feel.
No,
you know,
we don't.
We might have
conversations,
you
know, we pray
with
for the...
you, we will share with you. Yes. Share with
we
us.
We pray for the gift of discernment, but sometimes, you know, we even need help in those areas, like you said.
We do. We do.
You know,
we
miss the mark sometimes, you know,
yeah.
but because it looks like a tomato and it's all shiny and it's all ripe, and I'm like, wow, this is a nice tomato, and I'm going to use this tomato on my sandwich, but when I cut tomato open.
That thing was plastic, girl.
Thank you. It was rotten.
Yeah.
The outside looked real
oh,
well.
Jesus.
But the inside
my
was
God.
Rotten.
My God.
So, yes, we
my
need,
God.
You know, not only should you pray for the leaders, but I encourage the leaders to pray for each other.
Yes, yes, yes.
I've got pastor friends.
Yes.
You've got pastor friends.
Yes.
I pray for them daily.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't pray that they get mega churches. I pray for them.
Yes, yes. Amen, amen.
I pray for them to be who God
leaders
wants
got stuff.
Them to be.
Leaders got stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Leaders got stuff,
got
just like everybody
stuff.
Else. Leaders got
yeah.
stuff.
Because
leaders
they weren't born, they were not born a leader. When they came out at 7 pounds, 8 ounces, was the word preacher on their name? God knew.
Jesus. Yeah. Yeah.
He knew.
Yeah.
But look
yeah.
at what happened through
the
years.
The process to get to that place. The process
oh my
to get to that place.
Trust the process.
Wow.
And we can't trust the process because we can't trust what we don't know.
Yeah. My God.
Mm.
My God. Well, our time has come to a close. Once again, Pastor Sheila, thank you so much. Again, we've had wonderful dialogue to all the listening audience. Thank you so much for joining us. This message will be in the archives shortly after we're done. So please share it with others. It'll be on our Facebook page. It'll be on Twitter, and it will be on LinkedIn. So please, you know, use one of those sources and share this dialogue to help those who need help. Amen.
Before I pray, I want to put a plug in for my son. His name is Marcus,
okay.
and he will release his first CD on July 31st, and it's called Closure. Now, if you're not all churchy,
okay.
you know, it's R&B. So that's his first CD. I'm encouraging everybody. It's going to be on Blog Radio, so look for it. Amen. His first
yeah.
CD, his name is Marcus, and it's called Closure. Thank
When's
you so
be
much.
On blog?
I think it's going to be on blog tomorrow. I will double check and sign up. But you can go to his website, and it's Marcus Anthony on Facebook. Marcus Anthony, you'll see him with a guitar, and it's going to say Closure 731-15. And that's the name of the
Amen.
CD. Eight great
well,
songs.
We just
but,
thank
you know, I'm praying
thank
for
you.
I'm praying for him. I'm praying for him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Let us go in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this time of sharing, for this time of listening, for this time of fellowship. We just ask right now that every saint that was listening, God, will please pray for thy leaders. Pray for thy leaders daily as thy leader pray for each other. We thank you, God, for what you've already done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, give them all the glory and the honor. Amen.
Amen and amen. Again, thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back on the air Sunday morning at 8 o'clock with another relevant kingdom teaching. God bless you all.
Have a great night.